Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. My name is Doug Wortham, and I have the distinct pleasure of hosting today's show. Today, we'll hear about the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp. We'll speak with the Marine Corps League and check in with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Minnesota's Camp Ripley Training Center can be a busy place during the summer. The busyness surges when young people from across the state flock to the annual Minnesota National Guard Youth and Teen Camp. This is a one-of-a-kind kids camping experience open to dependents, nieces, nephews, brothers, sisters, and grandchildren of currently serving and retired Minnesota National Guard members. Through activities like orienteering, swimming, canoeing, and other team-building events, these volunteer-led camps help kids build confidence and understanding why their Guard member serves. For more information on the Minnesota National Guard Youth and Teen Camps, please visit mngyc.org. That's mngyc.org.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me in the studio representing the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp is Rich Kemp and Lindsay Kulmu. Rich served in the Minnesota Army National Guard, retired in 2013 as a Master Sergeant, and Lindsay is currently serving in the Air National Guard, holds the rank of Master Sergeant. Rich and Lindsay, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Great to be back.
Yes, it is great to be back. It's great to see you again, Lindsay. Rich, it's good to see you too. But Lindsay, you were just in the studio not too long ago. We interviewed you talking about Girls Rock with Wings. And if I remember right, during that interview, we talked about all of the different things that you're involved with. And, of course, Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp is one of the many things that you're involved in. And we appreciate that so much. Now, I do want to start off today with Rich. And Rich, you and I, we served together, known each other for a long time. And you're like the one of the founding fathers of the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp. You've been involved with it since day number one. Why don't you give us a little bit of history about the camp and really why it got started, how it got started, and you know, a little info about that.
Well, it started, our first camp was in 1991. And our adjutant general at the time was Gene Andreotti, and he wanted to get a program going for the, you know, to help the families. You know, the families give up a lot when their service members either at their annual training. Back then it was just annual training and weekend drills, and now it's so much more. You know, with all the deployments that our soldiers and airmen do, and so we wanted to get something going, and then we started the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp in 1991. We had a one-week camp with very few volunteers. So if you were a counselor, you were also the swimming instructor, or, I mean, you had several duties compared to how it is now. If you're a counselor, that's what you do, because it takes a lot of time to be a counselor. And so we had, and then it expanded to 2 one-week camps the next year, and it was just 10 to 12-year-old kids. And 10 years later, we started Teen Camp, which was 13 and 15-year-old kids, and got them involved. And then we also had junior counselors for kids that were 16 and 17-year-old, and they would go on, most of them, a lot of them, to become adult counselors and, you know, help keep us our program going. And those kids are also a great interaction between us old farts and those young kids.
So, Rich, 33 years then the camp has been in operation, using that 1991 date. And I just, in full disclosure, I was just doing quick math here on a piece of paper because I don't do it generally in public in my head. But 33 years of camp. And if you started when you were 16, so that puts you at, what is that, 49, huh?
Yeah, exactly. We missed 1 year because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And before that, you could always look at what year it is now. So if it's 24, this would be our 34th year. It was always easy to keep track of it until we lost that 1 year because of COVID.
Yeah.
But that's the only year we didn't have a camp.
There were some close calls along the way, just with scheduling and volunteers and that sort of thing. But we've always been able to, you know, resource it out enough to make it work, except for the 1 year.
Yeah, and I think that that's important. We talk about the volunteers because this is a all-volunteer run camp.
Correct.
And we'll talk a little bit later in the show about some fundraising on how we actually support the camp. But all volunteers, and, you know, you certainly, especially when it comes to counselors, right, and the number of kids that now attend camp, you really want to have a counselor being able to direct all of their attention to the campers, rather than, like you said, having all these other responsibilities to do some of the teaching or instruction along the way.
We get those kids up at 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning, and they don't go to bed until 10 o'clock. They don't necessarily go to sleep at 10 o'clock, but it is a long day. So both the adult counselors and those kids get tired by the end of it. By the end of the week, everybody's ready for a nap.
Yes.
Well, we're going to talk about the future of the camp here in the next segment, but I do want to go back to Lindsay here. And the Adjutant General in his corner there, the generally speaking, he talked a little bit about youth camp and, you know, some of the activities. And so, Lindsay, what are some of the things that you really key in on during camp to help develop these young campers with not only some just self-esteem, but like leadership skills and things like that?
Sure. So the big thing is, you know, we in Minnesota, we don't have one of those active duty installations that really allows kids to have a network of their own people to relate to. And so our big thing is providing that space for that network to develop in doing some of the things like, you know, our orienteering course, like the Adjutant General brought up. We do some activities there that rely on their teammates in order to direct them through a maze while they're blindfolded. And we leverage the field leader action course downrange at Camp Ripley. So some of our older kids get to work together to accomplish some rather large obstacles that our soldiers do on a regular basis to develop their leadership skills. So there's a wide range of things that we do to develop their team and what it's like to rely on each other. Some other things that we do, you know, archery and riflery. A lot of times these are things that campers have never done before, have never contemplated being able to leverage what a rifle can do or what a bow and arrow is like. And we walk them through all the paces in order to make them successful in the activities that we do.
And I'm assuming then that through camp, when these activities are put on, you know, obviously it's a safe space. I don't mean safe as in, you know, like someone's going to get shot with a bow and arrow. We know that that's true.
Right.
I mean in that, look at, what if I'm just a timid camper and maybe I really don't even want to be here anyway and I just don't want to participate. So how do you deal with me in that type of a scenario? How do you create a space where you can encourage then that camper to get involved and then really get them out of their shell?
Yeah. So, you know, we've done this, as you said, for 33, 34 years. And so most of us have done it a time or two, and a lot of us are parents. And so we leverage some of our parenting skills on top of, you know, let's just try it with me. You're not doing this by yourself, and I'll coach you through it every step of the way.
Yeah, and great encouragement along the way. And I know because I've seen it where the other campers also provide that encouragement along the way. And that gets kids out of their shell too, doesn't it, Rich?
It does. That's one thing you can also do. You know, Lindsay talked about, you know, us as counselors trying to encourage them, but you try to get some of the other campers to become leaders and help those kids to become part of the camp.
Yeah, we've had quite a few times where a camper's, like, dead set on not staying. And you see some of the other campers that are already out of their shell and having the ball of their time, of their life, and just kind of ask them, hey, man, can you go over and just hang out with so-and-so and give them the ropes and show them around? And you know, by the end of the first 30 minutes, they're best friends and they're ready to go.
And, Rich, I know you've shared this story many times where, you know, on day one, you've got a camper who's homesick, is crying, wants to leave. And then on that Friday night, the last night of camp, they're crying because they don't want to leave.
Exactly. I always like to tell the story about how a camper started running away from us the first day. And there's 10 huts at Camp Ripley if you're not part of the guard. And this kid was running between those, and there's not a lot of space. So I'm trying to chase after him. And some other counselors helped me, and we finally caught up to him. He goes, I don't want to be here. My mom made me come. And then, like you said, on Saturday he was crying. He didn't want to go home. Yeah. And that's the best part, about, I think, about the camp is just seeing that.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to see that transition, these kids. I want to talk more about youth camp in just a little bit, but we do have to take a quick break. This is Minnesota Military. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, in the studio with me talking about Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp. Again, is Rich Kemp and Lindsey Kumho. And so, Rich, you know, 33, 34 years of Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp. You've been there since day one. You've been involved, minus a time, you know, where you were deployed. But you've seen a lot of changes over the years with the camp. Tell us just a little bit about how the camp has really grown and what it's developed into.
Like I said, that we started out with 1 week camp, and as we always hold these camps like the end of July, the first part of August. And so we have 1 week of what we have had is 1 week of youth camp, which is 10 to 12 year olds. And then at the same time, teen camp for the 13 to 15 year olds. And so that's been going on since year 10 of camp. And the volunteers, you know, we recruit like crazy every year trying to get more volunteers and try to get some of those that were with us in the past to come back.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Well,
it takes a lot of volunteers and a lot of time. And one thing we're always looking for is bus drivers and medical staff and lifeguards. I guess are the three big areas where it's hard to find enough people, especially the bus drivers. It seems like we're always hurting for bus drivers. So if you know anybody with a bus driver's license, either military or civilian,
correct,
we can take them to come in and help us out. And I have to remind you, it's all volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And the time that our volunteers put in for this camp is amazing. Some of us are on the board of directors, and we're doing stuff year-round. And even those that are just at camp put in a mega amount of hours. I said, we're up at have the kids up at 6:30 in the morning, and they're going to bed at 10, but we're not done. And then we're meeting after that and talking about how the day went. And
I would imagine, you know, because you provide or you host the camp up at Camp Ripley, as Camp Ripley has grown and developed over the years, that opens up additional resources to you all so you can expose these kids to more things that our Minnesota National Guard is doing.
Right, yeah. So just down the road from where we typically house the campers is where the UAVs are hosted from. And so it's not uncommon for us to be able to, you know, take a little detour on the bus and see some UAV launches. And, the kids are always loving that. The traffic on the airfield is always something. The different units that are downrange working their skills before they go gallivant the world.
Yeah.
That's always something fun to listen to. And whenever we can demonstrate those activities for the campers, we'll go out and, you know, watch and ask questions of those soldiers. So it's always a good time.
I remember one time during camp, we had the opportunity, we brought the kids down range, and they were out on the tank range.
Yes.
And the kids sat up in that bleacher watching those tanks fire their tables, their qualification tables. Mm-hmm. And that's just the kind of stuff that the normal public doesn't get to see. And so
right.
What a great opportunity for these kids. I do want to talk about something, and I can see it in both of you. I wish our audience could see you two sitting here. But the excitement and the passion that is in your faces and in your eyes, I think, comes out in your voices, too. So Lindsey, I'll start with you. Why? Why this great passion?
I was a camper in 1992. I was the first week, I was in that crew. My mom was in the Air National Guard down in the Twin Cities at the 133rd. And so that's how I got connected. She was a counselor. We went back together in 1999. That was my first year as a volunteer. If that ages me at all.
No. Rich is only 49, so you're just a couple years under that.
Right. So, it's about that space, to that kids don't necessarily have, because our soldiers and airmen come across from all corners of the state. I grew up in South Central Minnesota, and my mom was in the unit in the Twin Cities. So I didn't know that there were people near me that were having some of the same, you know, experiences that I was having until I went to camp.
Yeah.
And met those people and found out that they lived in New Ulm or Mankato or whatever, you know, places that were close. And so as soon as I knew that that was available and that I wasn't different than anybody else. I just didn't know that those other people existed. It really provided that sense of community that I think sometimes our campers don't know is available to them. So yeah. that's really where my passion
comes from. And Rich,
comes from.
I mean, you obviously, you know, you started on day one, but you've grown in to have some great passion for this, and you've stuck with it for, you know, however many years. So what drives your passion?
Well, I'm the opposite of Lindsay. I never had the opportunity to go to a camp as a kid.
But you get to be at camp and act like a kid.
Exactly.
He sure is.
It's a blast. And like the story I told about the campers that don't want to be there on Sunday, but on Saturday they don't want to go home. They've had so much fun, as I have. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so rewarding to see that. And
we have that scenario every camp session. So, you know, there's at least two or three campers every single session that are just so fear-ridden that they're being left somewhere for the first time for a week without their parents or anyone that they know. And by the end of the week, they don't want to go home every session.
So let's talk about what it takes to put camp on, right? You already talked about volunteers. You need that. Obviously, you need a place to hold camp. So Camp Ripley provides that. Mm-hmm. But there's other things behind the scenes, other stakeholders, other people or entities that are involved in that. So Lindsay, I'll come to you on this. What kind of partnerships are key for you all to make sure that camp is successful?
Well, I would be, you know, if I don't mention our amazing donations from our American Legion and VFW partners, you know, we reach out to them every year and say, hey, you know, we do this thing with the campers and, you know, can you help us out? And every year they are send us, you know, just amazing amounts of money so that we can fiscally keep this thing going. So there's that. And, you know, those campers that we're teaching to fire rifles, you know, ammunition's not cheap. And Federal is a fantastic partner, and they do provide all of our ammunition for camp every single year. And without the, you know, folks like Federal, we would be taking money from different activities.
I remember one year delivering ammo to youth camp for Federal.
Yes.
And there was enough in there for several years of
yes,
camp. So,
yes.
So they really do take good care
they
of
They do take fantastic care of us. And you know, that's a resource that I, you know, we're forever grateful for. And, you know, and yeah, we're just super thankful.
And, of course, Camp Ripley. So.
I was just going to say.
You know, the relationships yeah. that we have at Camp Ripley are unquantifiable at this point. You know, we've developed a lot of them over the last, you know, 5-10 years. You know, since I've been in this role, I don't necessarily know what went on before me, but, you know, in the last 10 years or so, we've really bonded and, you know, worked together to figure out how we can support each other, whether, you know, that's Pokemon Go's, you know, downrange.
Yeah.
And I have an avenue to say, hey, this is a safe space. You can't have, you know, whatever targets here for Pokemon Go, because that's what the Camp American Camp Association, our accrediting body, has worked out. Or if it's, you know, the camaraderie that we can give for soldiers who work at Camp Ripley for their kids, a space to really see what Camp Ripley can do.
And I know they have it on their planning calendar, their long range planning calendar, and they always look forward to it every year. So we only have, you know, just over a minute or so left here. And I want to make sure that we talk about the money aspect of things, because mm-hmm. we need volunteers. We do need donations. You talked about the Legion, the VFW. But, Rich, you guys have an annual major fundraising event. Talk to us about your golf tournament.
We have a golf tournament every year, and it's been in August for many years. And I have to mention Sandy Maxwell, who passed away last year. Her and her husband, Tom, started it, and they kept it going for many, many years. And I took it over from Sandy a little over a year ago, and it has raised over $300,000 over the years.
Wow.
And it has taken place, who knows what the future will be, but at Majestic Oaks Golf Tournament, or golf course. And this year the tournament is on August 7th. And we're always looking for golfers. We're looking for people to sponsor holes and donate items for our silent auction and our raffle that we have. And it's a great tournament. It's a lot of fun, and we raise a lot of money from that. Last year, we raised $40,000.
And you guarantee good weather, right, Rich?
We try. Yeah. Last year, we had a little rain, but we pulled through.
Give us the website so people know where they can come to sign up for camp, yeah. Information about camp, and then for the golf tournament.
Yeah, so if folks want to visit our website, it's mngyc.org, as in Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp. .org. And everything you need to know there is there for you, whether it's registration or where you can volunteer or help with a golf tournament. All the things are there.
And we're going to make sure we have a link to that from our radio show site to the youth camp so that people can get there. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. Really appreciate seeing both of you again.
You too, Doug.
Yeah, absolutely. That is Rich Kemp and Lindsey Kummel from the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we're going to hear about the Marine Corps League, but first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Brad Lindsey.
This month, we reflect on the significant historical contributions of American women and honor their accomplishments both past and present. Duty, honor, pride. Those words reflect the spirit of generations of women who have sought to defend the rights and freedom of others. For years, women have been serving in the military alongside their male comrades. However, their service often goes unrecognized. Women in the military have made huge strides in the past few years and continue to serve as equals with their male comrades in combat roles. It is important that we take time to pay tribute and recognize the service and sacrifice of our women veterans here in Minnesota. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is honored to serve these women who have contributed so much to our state and nation. Learn more about our Women Veterans Program at minnesotaveteran.org/womenveterans. Please join me in honoring and thanking our service women.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsey. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining us from the Marine Corps League is Andrew McCormick. Andrew is the Commandant of the Detroit Lakes Detachment and is the Department of Minnesota Commandant. Andrew, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, great to have you in the studio, and thanks for taking the time to come in here and introduce us to the Marine Corps League. And before we get into kind of what the Marine Corps League is and what it's all about, why don't you give us a little bit of a background about who you are and what your military service was?
I joined the Marine Corps in 1992. Didn't know I was going to spend as much time in as I did. I ended up, once I enlisted, I went through schools and everything, and I became a motor transport mechanic, which turned out to be kind of a really cool thing, is that it allowed me to be attached to all sorts of different units. So I got to experience with tanks and artillery and infantry, where a lot of jobs don't get to do that. I did serve 20 years. I retired in 2013. During that time, I've gotten to go all over the world. I've been to Iraq, Afghanistan. I got to spend 3 years as head of personal security and transportation for the Commander in Chief of the Pacific. So I got to travel to all sorts of countries and stuff in the Pacific. So it was a lot of fun. Got my degree while I was in. And now I've been happily retired completely for about 5 years.
And when you say happily retired, what you really mean is you've got time to do more things. You were explaining before that you've got a 3-page honey-do list that hasn't shrunk at all. You keep knocking tasks off, but for some crazy reason, tasks keep getting put back on. But that's the way it is, right?
it's not really retirement. It's under new management.
There you go. So are you originally from Minnesota?
No. Actually, I enlisted out of Colorado Springs.
And so you enlisted out of Colorado Springs. You spent 20 years in the Marine Corps, but there had to be a reason then for you to come to Minnesota. So what brought you to Minnesota, and then what got you connected with the Marine Corps League?
Well, bringing us to Minnesota, my wife's originally from the Detroit – her family, rather, is from the Detroit Lakes area. And I guess about second year into our marriage, we came up here for her cousin's wedding, and I fell in love with the town, the lakes, the surrounding area. I'm a big sportsman. I love fishing, hunting. Okay. And it's just all right there. So as we were getting close to retirement, my wife came back for her grandmother's funeral and found the house we're currently in. And she's like, were you serious about retiring here? Yeah. And so we bought the house, and we've lived there ever since and absolutely love it.
That's a great story, right? I mean, and that's kind of the way it generally is, I think. You know, you've got that tie to come back, and this is a good state to live in, right? The scenery, the opportunity for sportsman type stuff, and especially in the area you're talking about.
Right. The cold gets a little rough, but yeah.
Well, you know. You know, our Norwegian partners often say there's no such thing as as bad weather, only bad clothing. So as long as you dress for it, I think we could survive.
True, especially ice fishing.
There you go. Yeah, so, all right, so you come back to Minnesota after you retire. You've got ties now up in the DL area. But what about this Marine Corps League thing? So how do you get involved in that and then bring it to Detroit Lakes?
Well, I was approached by some fellow Marines who were looking to start a detachment in Detroit Lakes, and they needed a certain amount of Marines to be able to sign the charter. Really, I hadn't heard much about it before then. And at that point, I was really, really missing the camaraderie. And I think that's what happens to a lot of veterans in general. We leave the service, but the service doesn't really leave us. Mm-hmm. So when they approached me, it was like, this is great. I can spend time with fellow Marines, kind of hit that part of me that was missing. Helped with the formation of the detachment, and I've loved the program and just haven't left.
So the Marine Corps League then, what is it? What do you do? What are you chartered to do? You know, you have the state, which you're the commandant of, but also your detachment, you know, so an overall mission goal, what is it all about?
Well, the Marine Corps League is kind of unique for those that don't know about it. It was originally founded by John Lee Lejeune when he was commandant. And basically, in a nutshell, we joined the military to serve. And when we leave the service, like I said, it doesn't leave us. We still have that desire to serve. And what the Marine Corps League does is it allows us to serve again, not only for our fellow Marines and FMF sailors, but to our communities as well. So since the Marines' inception, we allow for regular members, any honorably serving, active duty, retired, veteran, either active duty Marine Reserve, FMF corpsman, or FMF chaplains, which means they've served with the Marine Corps at one point. And that's our regular members. We also allow for associate members, which are non-military, to join and help out. We're really big into community service. We have a lot of programs that we offer throughout the state. A lot of our detachments work with Toys for Tots or some kind of local toy gathering and distribution program within their communities. We have an Eagle Scout Award program where we award new Eagle Scouts with a Good Citizenship Award. One of the kind of unknown portions of it is called the Military Order of the Devil Dog. So this was actually founded many years ago. The National Convention was in Boston. And after having a couple stressful days of meetings, a bunch of Marines decided to go across the street to have a good time and blow off steam. Hence, the order was developed. So right now, to be a member, you have to be a member in good standing, a regular member, and you have to be invited into the order. It's not something you can just go out and join.
Okay, so just because you served as a Marine – and you have honorable service, that doesn't mean I can just call you up and say, okay, give me the membership form. I want to sign up and come in. I'm expecting, or I need to get that actual invite from you or from someone else that's currently a member.
Well, for the regular league, you can come down and fill out an application. But within the league, we've got the Military Order of the Devil Dog.
Gotcha. Right,
and that's considered the Fun and Honor Society of the Marine Corps League.
Okay.
And we do. We have an absolute ball doing it. But the most important thing is when we have our different gatherings – we collect fines for silly things.
Sure.
You know, we just have a good time. All those fines that are collected from every single devil dog throughout the country, they're collected in one spot. And when we have our national convention for the Marine Corps League, the devil dogs present a check for that amount of money in its entirety to the local children's hospital in the town that is hosting our convention. So last year, the convention was in Oklahoma City. The dogs presented a check for $74,000 to the Children's Hospital of Oklahoma.
That's a lot of fines. Is that because someone dropped a curse word here and there or something?
It can be just about anything. Like I said, it's just a good time. We get in there, we have fun, we act silly. You know, sometimes you can get up and just levy fines for any crazy thing you want. But nobody cares because, again, we know that the fines that we're spending, they're going to a children's hospital or a veterans organization. And, you can't ask for a better way to spend your money.
So you get an opportunity to spend some good quality time with your fellow Marines and then raise a little money along the way to support a great cause. And in this case, that children's hospital and that city that hosts your annual convention.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. So we're gonna take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll get into a little bit more about some of the things you're working on as the Commandant, the things that you want to do with in your tenure, and then we'll revisit, you know, how someone can become a member. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and in the studio with me is Andrew McCormack. He's the Commandant of the Detroit Lakes Detachment of the Marine Corps League, as well as Department of Minnesota Commandant. Andrew, before we went into break, we were talking a little bit about, kind of how you do some fundraising, talking about some of the silly things and fun things that you do. But, you know, there's serious business, too. You know, of course, you got to have, the old saying of, work hard and play hard, that type of a thing. But you guys do some serious work, too. And generally with our service organizations, there's some type of a project or a main initiative. And I'd like to know a little bit about what you are stressing to get done is your time in the Commandant and what you'd like to see accomplished.
Like you said, there is a very serious side to the league. We're there to support Marines, their families, sailors. So there's times when we have Marines that aren't members, but they're still Marines. They're still family. And they've come into hard times. We've had I'm up from Detroit Lakes, and I guess about a year ago we had a Marine coming through Fargo, and he had a breakdown. He needed money to get his car fixed and get going. We helped him out. So there's a good portion of us that's what we're there to do, aside from supporting our communities. One of the other big things we do is we provide funeral honors for fallen service members. And that's a task that our honor guards take very, very seriously. They put in hours of practice to make sure that they are 100% sharp and ready to go.
And is that a service you provide at any cemetery, or are you only doing it at one of the national cemeteries or the state veteran cemeteries?
Right now, our honor guards are doing it just about anywhere.
Okay.
Just because there's kind of a shortage, and we're all pretty much in the same boat that veterans are veterans. We're all family. And our honor guards really do believe that that is one of the most important things they can do. It's the last thing we can do for a fallen comrade. So it's very, very important to them, and they take it very, very seriously. As far as getting things done as the Commandant, it's kind of a daunting task. We have 11 detachments spread all over the state that I'm responsible for keeping track of, helping out, et cetera. I've got some great support staff that helps get that done. But the biggest thing is that, again, we're providing community services, making sure we're running programs. I think one of the most important things I do as a Commandant is I sit on the Commander's Task Force, which it's a task force made up of 8 of the veterans organizations in the state. And we come together once a month with some legislative assistance, and we sit down. We talk about legislative priorities that we want to send to the state, and it's all based on veterans. So for me, it's a great opportunity not just to reach my league members, but also veterans as a whole. It's an honor to be asked to sit on that.
So. Yeah, and that the Commander's Task Force obviously is a very important advisory group, even to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, because obviously you all have. That's where the veterans are, and membership means something. And so coming together as the CTF with that membership count really does have a strong voice up on the Hill. And I know that there's preparations going on right now for Veterans Day on the Hill so they can get ready to make that march up to the state capitol. So let's talk about membership again. You kind of talked, briefly about main membership and the special membership. But if somebody's interested in what the Marine Corps League has to offer or becoming a membership, what would they do? Where do they go?
We've got a new department website that just came up. It's mcldeptofmn.org.
So Marine Corps League Department of Minnesota.org, if you were to, we're abbreviating it, obviously. So MCLDEPTOFMN.org. And that is where they should go for all information.
Right. There's a lot of good information on there. One of the most important parts is there's a bar on there that says find a detachment. When you click on that, it'll bring up a map of Minnesota. And on that map, there's a series of numbers. And those numbers represent the geographical location of our detachments. So depending on where you live, you can look at the map and very easily find out, okay, I'm next to number six. Then on the right side, there's a series of bars. You click on number six, and it takes you to the contact information for that particular detachment.
So I'm assuming you're looking for more membership, obviously, and then volunteers, too, for some of these events that you're doing throughout
the year. We're always looking for new members.
All right.
You know, if you're a Marine, retired, active duty, you know, you did your 4 years, honorably got out. If you're an FMF corpsman or an FMF chaplain, we're always looking for the regular members.
So Marines, don't forget, go to MCLDEPTOFMN.org, get the information, become a member today. Andrew, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on Minnesota Military Radio. Really appreciate
it. My pleasure.
That is Andrew McCormick of the Marine Corps League. Joining us now is the public affairs officer from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, Melanie Nelson. Melanie, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Doug. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you on again. You get to do that dual duty when the director isn't available. You get to step in for him, and it's always a nice treat to hear your voice again. And I know we've got a lot to talk about today in a short amount of time, so I want to get right after it.
Yeah.
So things at the Minneapolis VA this spring, you know, you're always busy, busy, busy. So what's going on out there? What's keeping you guys so busy?
Oh, boy, can I tell you what? We held our Northern Community-Based Outpatient Town Hall this past week, and over 60 were in attendance. Mr. Kelly, our director, and our subject matter experts, they were able to give participants updates about the community-based outpatient clinics in Ely, Hibbing, and the Twin Ports, right where these guys are living, and directly answer questions in that virtual event. And last week, we Supervisors Week just wrapped. We had a recognition program last week, and nearly 30 of our supervisors were nominated by their own staff for our facility's top award. In the end, the nurse manager in our emergency department, Wendy Young, took home the prize, and you can watch the whole program on our YouTube channel, so we're excited about that. And then it was also Nurse Certified Nurses Day. Who knew that was a thing, huh? So we celebrated that here at the VA. Doug, did you know that the Minneapolis VA has over 200 board-certified nursing staff? It makes up nearly 16% of our working force.
Well, you know, just another testament to the great people we have out at the Minneapolis VA supporting our veterans. So, you know, nice work on that. And so, I mean, you know, that's just a small sampling of the things that you've had going on so far this spring. And I would imagine that you guys are really going to start to slow down now, right?
No, that's just not the case here in these walls at the Minneapolis VA. We are anxious to welcome the Smiling Drum Studio. They're going to be here at our facility to close out Women's History Month on Wednesday, March 27th. And as you might know, April is Donor Awareness Month. We'll be sharing all kinds of things on site about the important role being an organ donor can play. And April 8th is Whole Health Week. There'll be activities on campus each day. And Doug, just between you and me now, if you're in our main atrium around noon on Friday, April 12th, you're going to find yourself in the middle of a flash mob.
I will not tell anybody.
We're going to put that on our social media, too, after the event. So we're really excited about that little secret. April 17th is Limb Loss Awareness. We're going to have a Limb Loss Awareness Fair here. And as you know, May is Mental Health Month. We'll have all kinds of activities and education around that. And finally, Doug, you know, I'm new to the VA here. I didn't know this was a thing, but in late May, it's Research Week, a really big deal around here. And on May 30th, people are able, they're welcome to come in and meet some of our top researchers, look at poster presentation, learn about opportunities we have for veterans to get involved in our research projects.
So, Melanie, I mean, you have just provided just a ton of information about different things that are going on. And I would imagine that it's easy for a patient who's out at the Minneapolis Medical Center or maybe one of the community-based outpatient clinics that they'll see this information posted or plastered all over the place at these mm-hmm. different sites. But what if I'm not there or someone's not there? How do they find out about this?
Yeah, right. Most people aren't here every day like I am. Well, we have an events page. It's right on our website. And you can also, if you need help checking that a website, I really encourage you to go on our website and sign up for our newsletter. In February, we kicked off a brand new monthly newsletter. It's a platform for us to share news, current events, and happenings here at the Minneapolis VA with everyone who's listening here on Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, you've had a good start to spring with some great things going on. And, of course, it's not going to slow down as it really never does with the Minneapolis VA. So keep up the great work up there. We really appreciate you. And thanks for spending some time with us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Have a wonderful rest of the day.
You too.
We're just about out of time, and I'd like to let you know that this show is for you. If you have a topic suggestion, if you have feedback, or if you're a Minnesota veteran that'd like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Rich Kemp, Lindsay Kumo, Andrew McCormick, Melanie Nelson, Commissioner Brad Lindsay of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week when we have a discussion with the Minnesota Patriot Guard, hear from the DAV, and learn about the SOAR program from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham. I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a great week and you find a way to make a positive impact on someone's life.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.